You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. And you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I don't know what it is about this episode. It's like we're just going into 2018 with a new spirit. This may be my favorite episode, but I think it was just the episode. It was the conversation that I needed to have at this exact moment. It's been extremely cold here in New York, and my dear friend Enye, who is the coolest girl I know, I mean, you guys will hear from her, just dope. She's from St. Vincent, she's from the islands, and we talked a lot about just how growing up in the Caribbean, kind of isolated in paradise, just makes you have like a different type of confidence, a different type of swagger. I think, you know, Rihanna's the quintessential island girl, carefree, beautiful, super confident, and also even more beautiful because she is confident, right? Like, there's something about just knowing you're amazing and having that confidence that bridges just on the edge of arrogance, you know? And like, you can almost maybe even tip into arrogance, but like, fine, like, let's do it. I've been trying to take the spirit of my interview with Enye with me. I've been coming home from work, taking off all 17 layers of whatever I have on, turning up the heat, making a tropical environment at home, watering my plants, putting on my dance hall playlist. I've been listening to a lot of Patra. You guys know Patra, Queen of the Pack? Look how me cute and sexy like that. I may plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up. Listen to this confidence, like, you're at home hitting a Dutty wine in the mirror. You're just feeling yourself. Maybe you get some coconut oil out, do a nice little facial treatment. Like, this is the energy I'm trying to bring into this new season, into this new year. All right, I hope you guys are inspired by the conversation. And also just thank you to everyone who has subscribed, who has rated this podcast, who has left me a review on the Apple Podcast app. That is so meaningful. I can't even tell you. So grateful to everyone who listens. I think you guys are going to love the episode. All right. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm sitting here with Enye Kagbala, who goes by also the stage name. Oh, gosh. 3NYI. No. Oh, my gosh. Can you introduce yourself, because I'm going to fuck it up.
It's 3NYI3.
3NYI3, which is actually really easy. I don't know why that was hard for me. But I'm so excited to have you on, because I don't get to see you often. We used to see each other all the time when I was living in London, but I haven't seen you since the wedding.
I know. Actually, we saw each other in January. That was, oh my gosh, it was very true. Fleeting, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we have seen each other since. But I've known you for, like, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
An insane amount of time.
Yeah.
And, like, we kind of met on the internet, which is so weird.
It's so crazy.
Because, like, I just think of you as, like, you know, like an old friend of
exactly.
mine.
Exactly.
But we did
it's
kind
amazing,
of meet.
And I'm so happy that happened.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That was also the, like, early days of the internet, where mm-hmm. it was, like, a little bit different, where you could just, like, reach out to someone
yeah.
that was doing cool stuff and then mm-hmm. meet up.
Yeah, because I saw your blog and I loved
gosh,
it.
That damn blog.
I loved that blog so much. I thought it was
Thank
so fun.
You.
I was like, who's this girl? She's so inspiring. Oh. She's so stunning. And I was still living in the Caribbean at that time.
Were you?
I didn't realize that. Still living in St. Vincent. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to message her. I don't even do that these days.
Yeah, I'm very like, it's a whole different ballgame now.
And I messaged her, I was just like, oh, you're so interesting, like, let's be friends. And then we added each other on Facebook, and yeah, that was it.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are people that will like reach out on Instagram, and there are possibilities to cultivate relationships. But I feel like when you're young, like I'm 28 now, like I'm not really trying to make new friends. Which
yeah,
is but that's not good though.
No, I totally understand that though. Like I remember like, cause I moved to Nigeria, like, you know, in 2016. And I remember thinking like, I can't be bothered. I don't really want to make new friends. I'm just so comfortable. And it's quite hard. Like if you're in a new city,
it is hard to make friends.
You do need to make friends.
Yeah, but, no, of course. Yeah. But I have really good memories of like our times in London. I feel like we were doing the absolute most. We were going to Fashion Week. We were going to like all of those, like going to the Box and like God knows what club parties.
Seriously.
I don't have the energy for that.
Always on the scene, and yeah.
But it was fun.
It was
fun. I just sent you that picture of us like in like our matching leopard print at Somerset House.
What? Accidental matching.
What were we even going to? Some fashion show.
We were going to like PPQ show, yeah.
When you're in London, do you do those things still?
No, I don't.
You're just
anymore.
Like completely.
I just like go to the parties.
Okay.
But I'm mostly doing frieze now, which is so funny.
Oh, like the art fairs?
Because I did a complete turnover, yeah.
Okay, so now you're like in the art scene, fashion scene versus art scene.
I much prefer art. Yeah.
Well, so I should give more background on you. You're a musician, but you also were doing fashion stuff for a while. You're just like a creative spirit in general. Do you identify as a musician first?
I identify as like an artist first. Like,
just an
you
artist.
Know, I'm still trying to find like my medium in terms of I'm not trying to find it per se, but like I'm just experimenting with lots of different mediums, because for me, I have like a lot of curiosity and I have like a lot to express, so I just don't want to put myself in like one place.
Right.
Yeah.
And you aren't living in London anymore now. No. You're back home in St. Vincent and living like full-time island life. How long have you been back?
I've been back for a month now.
Honestly, looking at your Instagram, like I'll just be like in a conference room like midday, like Times Square traffic below me, and then I'll just look and you're like literally drinking out of a coconut on the beach collecting seashells, and I'm like, this is just her, like you're not on vacation, this is just your life. Do you realize how lucky you are to live that lifestyle?
I've started like being grateful.
Yeah.
Because before I think
You grew up there.
I guess like you just take it for granted. Like going away, like living in Europe, living in London, living in Nigeria for the past like 8 years. When I went back like this March, I was quite blown away. I was just like, this is really amazing. I would wake up in the morning, and you know, I would open my fridge. Like my mom makes like coconut milk and you know ginger juice, like everything. So I wake up in the morning, open the fridge, and there would be like freshly made coconut milk. There would be like ginger with golden apple juice, and
the dream.
And I just thought, I was like, wow, this is like quite amazing.
Yeah,
like this is quite next level.
Yeah.
My mom makes everything, so you know, I was constantly going to her for like all this like advice about like all the best things to eat and you know the benefits. So yeah,
that's, and think about how much money we spend to get like a cold pressed juice in a shop. It's like $12, and it's probably not even made anywhere close to where the facility is that you're buying it. So to actually eat like that all the time, and then be in the sun, and then I just feel like there's just a very, and I think you have this too, like this very kind of like relaxed attitude.
For sure, it's really fortunate to be able to be in a place where you can just live. It's not about chasing anything per se. Like you can still work really hard and, you know, be passionate about whatever you do. But to have that like feeling of like, okay, I can just like live. Because like, just even seeing people around.
Yeah.
When I see the way people live in the Caribbean, it's so inspiring. Because I'm like, their life is so simple. They don't care about anything else. They just want to wake up in the morning and have good health. The sun shining on their backs. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful way.
Yeah, and I guess it's not like necessarily a fair comparison, but when I think about Rihanna and like why she's so cool, I think a lot of it probably has to do with growing up from that part of the, because she's just so relaxed. She really doesn't give a fuck.
She really is amazing.
Is she like well respected in the Caribbean? Like
she is. Like, she's so like loved like I see her, like I understand her in terms of like she's such an island girl.
Yeah.
And she didn't let the whole like stardom and fame like get to her head. She just kept it real.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful to see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and especially in your industry where I feel like so many people are like striving and trying
and they
so
get
hard
so
to make
phased
it. Yeah,
like she's not gotten phased, like she's very fascinating character
and she has amazing style. I don't even know where it comes
it's
from, but
brilliant.
She just knows exactly what to do and when
it's
to do
it. It's that island girl style though.
Yeah,
because I remember like when I met one of my really good friends, Cherry, and
I love Cherry.
I would just see her style and I would be like, oh my god,
like, yeah, like
Cherry's style is so cool. It's just quintessential island girl.
How would you classify island girl style?
It's just kind of like throwing on whatever, you know?
I know, but me throwing on whatever is different from Rihanna throwing on whatever.
Yeah, but it really is that though. Like people don't really look at patterns and matching things.
Yeah, not overthinking.
No, it's just like wearing like what's very comfortable, what's going to make you feel cool. Like you don't want to feel too hot. So it's literally like throwing on like the shorter shorts and a tank top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there is something to the style, because we were talking about Shayla Monroe, who's living in St. Lucia full time, has incredible style. And she's
stunning.
From there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When I met her, I was literally like, you're all over my Pinterest board. And I think she was like,
oh my God, she was, as well for me.
Right? Like,
she's
just
so,
look after
her
look.
Style is just like, so the colors.
The colors, the way that she...
Patterns,
proportions. And it feels really innate. And I feel like that's the thing that makes someone have good style versus someone that just dresses well. It's like you and you alone could do this look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very like unique to her.
And so in terms of like... So you have great personal style, but then you also get on stage and perform. Do you feel like as a performer, you have to have like a look?
I used to feel like that before, but it wasn't so much like feeling like I needed to have a look. It was more like I really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to create like a visual story or like a vibe, more like a vibe of like who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And also like just the whole fun of like experimenting and just, you know, getting out there, because that's the only place where you can really go out there.
Right.
That's how I felt anyways. But... now I'm so chilled. I can't be bothered in terms of, I don't want to look like I'm trying too hard, like I'm making too much of an effort. I want to look comfortable. I want to look like, okay, yeah, I just felt like wearing this. Like I thought about it this morning, which is what I do now when I perform.
Right.
I don't spend so much time anymore. I just kind of like, it's like an afterthought, but... It's only because I want to be comfortable, and I don't want it to be about like what I'm wearing,
right?
Because I feel like if I put too much effort into like what I'm wearing, I'm not going to be able to deliver that performance. So now it's more, now I've just kind of evolved a bit as an artist. I've gotten to a place where like I want it to be about what I make, my sound and the feeling.
Right, not just your look.
Yeah.
But you're like me, you change your hair all the time. You change your hair
girl,
even more than I
girl.
Do. You're like literally every 3 weeks, it's like a new look. And right, your hair looks amazing right now.
Thank
what's,
you. I love talk. Yours. Yours is gorgeous.
Well, now I'm just doing like short, natural. I did some Bantu knots that I'm wearing now, but.
The curl is stunning.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
it
work.
It doesn't look like it though.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about your hair right now. It's amazing. This ombre, like lightweight.
Yeah. So I wanted something because I'm moving back to the Caribbean, right? So I wanted something that would work really well, like when I go swim, because I'm swimming all the time. Like my boyfriend and I, we always go like snorkeling in the Tobago Keys and like.
Amazing.
So I just want this hair that's like quite fab, but then also really good with water.
Yeah.
So I just like searched up like kinky curly ombre, because I also wanted blonde, because I've been wearing blonde for such a long time. I've always been obsessed with like this, having like golden hair, that look, like just an extension of my femininity, not because like, you know, I feel like blonde is the best, just because I feel like it works really well my complexion. But then I didn't want it to just be fully blonde. I was like, my hair is naturally black on the top, so I wanted something that would blend in.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, that's and then smart. I would still have that blonde.
So where did you find this hair?
Girl, Ah! Oh my God! You know, like where all the black girls are getting their hair now these days? Online, on the internet.
What's the site? What are you about to hit me with AliExpress? I'm ready.
Yes.
Okay. Of course. I should have known.
Yeah.
Okay. But like,
tried it for the first time. I love it.
Weren't you nervous ordering from there? Because I feel like it's in China, and like, God knows when it's gonna arrive.
You know what? I spent like probably 2 days.
Yeah.
I was reading reviews.
Oh my God. And the reviews will terrify you.
No, but the reviews were actually really good. That's why I bought it. I spent ages. So I read the reviews and I kept scrolling down. And then, you know, I was kind of like, in here, like, when are you actually going to stop like reading reviews? Like, this is ridiculous.
Pull the trigger.
This is like seriously.
But to be fair, I feel like all women do that. I feel like before you make a commitment, even if it's buying like a lip line, like, you just do all this research, find a YouTube video of someone with your complexion wearing it as well.
Girl,
it's like,
I got a tester for like a Lancome foundation since August and I just bought it today.
Before you committed. I know, but it's like you have to do your research. What is this hair called?
It's
what's the texture?
Kinky curly.
Okay.
So
is it human hair?
It's human hair. Okay. Yeah. So how it happened is I spoke to one of my friends who's a hairdresser, like Charlotte Mensah.
Yeah,
I was like,
I was going to her in Notting Hill. You referred me to her.
Exactly.
And she's everything.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's the best. So I really wanted like this kind of natural look, but with still like a curl pattern.
Yeah.
And so like I talked to her and I talked to one of the amazing girls that work with her, and I showed them pictures of like some kind of patterns that I'd seen. Actually some pictures of Beyonce.
Yeah, okay.
Because I love like her like kind of like really wavy natural look. And they were like, oh yeah, that's called kinky curly. I was like, fab.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
That was it. And then I was like, ombre.
Yes.
And so,
and then how did you know? Because I feel like whenever I look at ombre, it's like T30, T27. Like, do you know what color blonde this is? Or like,
honey, no.
Okay, but it looks
amazing. The thing is that I'm not so clued up with the details of hair, because this is like the first time I'm buying hair online, and before that, like this year has been the first time I'm like doing a weave in like probably 6 years.
Yeah, because I haven't done braids.
Yeah, I always do braids. Yeah.
And I love your cornrows always.
Thank you.
The thing with cornrows that I find challenging, and I love cornrows, but like after a week they start getting fuzzy and then it's over.
Mm.
Like they only really have like a week.
Short like shelf life, but I think it's the way that you tie it up when you go to bed, though.
True. So you're like a silk scarf.
Always do a silk scarf. Yeah, and I always like put coconut oil on it like every day.
Nice.
But yeah, I tie it down. Like my cornrows last for longer because I tie it down. And it's like been like maybe 4 weeks. I get quite lazy and I just leave it. And I go swimming with it and everything.
Yeah, and you're like, this is the look. This is the. And then how do you take care of your hair while you have braids and like weaves in? Like, how do you get to your scalp and take care of it?
I just use coconut oil. Yeah. Same. I just like kind
coconut
of like
for everything.
Like put it through my scalp. And like, actually, when I wear weaves, I don't really do that. I just kind of leave it as it is, because it's in a protected style. So I don't think it's necessary to put anything on my scalp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I remember, though, you dyed your own hair blonde, like pretty blonde. Did you bleach it?
No, I would just get a box dye.
Yeah.
From like Dark and Lovely.
Really?
Yeah. And that's what I would do like constantly. I dyed my hair for like 2-3 years on my own. I had like the best hairdresser in London, Charlotte Mensah.
I know,
but
she's
like
amazing,
I wouldn't even go there. I would just like get a box and like do it at home.
Yeah,
add some to my brows and then
okay, because you have blonde brows, so do you bleach your brows?
I bleach my brows. I actually use like just bleach. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's such a like high fashion strong look.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh,
of course.
Thanks.
Also, like, I feel like we're living in an age and a time where girls are doing the absolute most with
I
their
know,
brows
yeah.
and it's really distracting.
It's so distracting. I think like that for me, like the reason why I started even bleaching my brows is it was a bit of a like a fuck this whole overdoing brows, which is quite ironic because like it is quite overdone anyways because it's blonde.
But it looks so
I
cool.
couldn't be bothered to do this whole like drawing them on, and I wanted to do something new. And so I started bleaching my brows like 3 years ago, and it was just like, okay, I'm just going to grow them out for the first time, because I've been, you know, shaving, plucking,
oh my
all
gosh.
Of that. It's like since I was like 15 years old. And so in the past like 3 or 4 years, not done anything to my brows except bleach them, like color them. Because I felt like, you know, I can just tint them and then walk out and I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard now because I'm like, how am I going to go back to that other lifestyle?
Of like not having bleached brows?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I don't think it's actually very good to continue, like to bleach them forever. I don't know what that bleach is doing for you.
Yeah, I don't know what Erica Badu is doing to her brows now, but she kind of has a browless
look. I think she's probably bleaching them as well.
It looks really
cool. Yeah, it looks amazing. Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting to be able to play with your look. I think we as women, we have this luxury and privilege where we get to change it up so much, but a lot of people don't take advantage of it. Like a lot of people just have the same hair
because I love that. Like I feel in such good company that you change your hair so much, because I feel like I did start getting to a point where I was like, oh my god, Inya, like you're you probably look like such a chameleon, which I am, but you probably like constantly look like a different person
because
you always change your hair.
Always
I did start getting a bit sensitive about it, and I remember like reading on your bio about, oh yeah, like change your hair a lot, and I was like, oh yeah, good,
in my Instagram bio, like as part of who I am, like
amazing.
I change my hairstyle often, it's just part of who I am.
Love it.
Do you feel like, so as women, because we get to, do you think everyone can change up their hairstyle and look often?
Yeah,
or
definitely.
Because sometimes I think that some people have very unique faces and are suited for it. Like when I think about Halle Berry, when I see Halle Berry with long hair, I'm like, doesn't really do it for me. Like I think she has the type of face, like she was born to have short hair. And then I think some people have the type of faces where they can transform.
For sure, for sure.
Do you feel like you have a little bit of that?
Well, I think so. I think also, like my relationship with hair is, it became the way it is because like I had to, like, you know, I moved to Nigeria when like I was quite young.
Hair culture like in Nigeria?
Well, I mean, it's full on. Everyone's obsessed with doing their hair, constantly going to the hairdressers, like doing weaves, doing braids. But it's also really interesting because like I had to go back at one point because like I was living in Montserrat and the volcano erupted.
Oh, wow.
And so like they had to evacuate the whole island. So I ended up going back to Nigeria and I did like a year of high school there. And when you do high school in certain schools, I was going to this boarding school, you had to like shave your hair. Certain schools, you have to actually shave your hair.
Shave your head?
From 1 to 3. Yeah.
What?
You have to shave your hair. Like, it's a rule. They don't want you to be focusing on your hair because they're thinking,
like, focus on school.
Yeah. They're thinking, like, your first 3 years of high school, you need to be dedicated to your studies.
I never knew
How crazy is that?
Did you have to do that?
Yeah, of course. So that's how my hair journey began. Literally, like at 12 years old, shaving my hair off. Like, and I was quite excited.
Yeah, I wasn't liberating.
For me, it was just like, I'm going to high school. Like, it's part of the whole process. I'm going to shave my hair. So it was just like, shaved my hair, started high school in Nigeria, and then went back to the Caribbean. And then I kept my hair short from like 12. I kept my hair, like, I had a shaved, like, buzz cut. I would get the hair just like to this like shape in the back.
Yeah.
You know, for like 3 years, my hair was short. And that's like, you know, that's quite young to have like this like shaved head.
But also I think good, because I think so many people are afraid of having their hair short because they feel like they won't be feminine.
Yeah.
What? I always like struggle with like, how do you like let people know, women in particular, that like it's just hair and it grows back and just do it?
That's what that whole process did for me.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to be forced into it.
It totally, like, I was so detached from hair.
Yeah.
But then also still at the same time, committed to just having fun.
Yes.
So it created that whole
And I think for me, like, one of the things that I've come to terms with is that my hair is never going to be perfect, so I've kind of embraced this messy hair. Like, I'm like, my hair is just always going to be a mess,
but it's perfect. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, it's not perfect, but like, you know, like the YouTube, Pinterest, like perfectly, that's just never going to be me.
Yeah, but like that messy look that you're talking about, it's quite fab. It really works.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So in Nigeria in particular, because I've never been to Nigeria, but I'm fascinated by the idea of how beauty standards are made when you live in a dominant like white culture society versus a society where everyone is black.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me that weaves and all of that stuff is still so pervasive in Nigeria, where literally everyone I mean, for the most part, it's just, has like kinky textured hair.
Yeah, it's just become a huge part of like black culture, and yeah, even in Africa.
Yeah,
it's a combination of, you know, these women, them seeing it as an extension of them being a woman, like their femininity, and also, I guess, a bit of European beauty standards, because they still see it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still very much like in their view, but they also do it because, you know, it's, they feel like it's easier for them to maintain.
And it is. Like, yeah. Like me getting a weave or anything put in, it's not like a self-hatred thing. It's at the end of the day, black and white easier for me to retwist. And growing up, though, at least for me, like Naomi Campbell was someone that I like always looked at pictures of her. Like she was like the absolute like prime example of black beauty. And she always had like long straight silky hair.
Yeah.
Growing up, who did you, and I'm also curious, like in St. Vincent, like were there like beauty idols that were there? Like growing up, who did you see as like ultimate black beauty icons?
Black beauty icons in St. Vincent. I mean, it would have to be like my mom, because like she just had like the best skin.
Yeah.
And you know, her style was just like really easygoing. It's weird because like, I didn't really look at, I mean, my beauty icon in terms of hair, I'm not going to lie, I was obsessed with Gwen Stefani. Ugh,
like, she's amazing.
Like her style, for me, her style was just so cool. And so I would try and emulate that. And what I would do is I would get braids done.
Yeah.
And I would get like side sweat bangs. No, seriously, it's so jokes. And then I would get like a cornrow going up. And then I would use like the leftover braids and get a ponytail.
Ah.
So that was like maybe my look at like 18.
Maybe that's why you still like blonde to this day. Like maybe Gwen's inspired
it
you.
It must have been that, yeah.
More than you've even realized.
True. Oh my God, so true.
That's so funny.
When she came out with...
Don't Speak?
No, it wasn't even like that. Yeah, I went through all of that. But when she like did her whole solo... Love Angel Music. I think
Baby,
it was that.
Yeah.
Love Baby. I don't remember exactly.
The Holla Back Girl and all that stuff.
I like that album for me was did a lot, because I'd been living in St. Vincent. Like I was just with my parents, because you know I have like 5 siblings. Everyone left. I was just by myself. I had like loads of, like amazing friends, but like you know what I mean. Like I was just by myself at home. So my thing was like Gwen Stefani. I was listening to that album loads. Like, I just love the vibes. Yeah. And I would go like on these like long, like, you know, countryside road trips, like stopping at rum shops, but like blasting Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
And like, I like her and like an Eve. Oh my God, I love that collaboration they did.
Oh, Let Me Blow Your Mind.
Like that one, and also Rich Girl, the cover.
If I Was a Rich Girl.
Oh my God, like, and Vivienne Westwood and On the Boat. For me, I was just like, this is Island Girl vibes.
Yes,
like, it really spoke to me. And I just thought their collaboration was just so stunning, like the two of them. Because I love Eve. Like, I think she's so cool,
she's awesome.
Inspiring. And like, I feel like she's such a good person as well.
Yeah, she lives in the UK now, doesn't she?
Yeah,
she's
lives in London.
She's like very, very wealthy man with like lots of kids. I saw them at the airport once.
No way! Yes. Oh, they have such a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, like, they're like
I've
super
met
in
her,
love,
and she's a darling. Like she's one of the coolest people that I've met. Like in terms of being like the height of where she is, and that she's just so chilled. I was like blown away.
Yeah, well, I feel
we just like got along so well.
Do you think you'll ever like work with her, do music with her?
I
that would be amazing.
So that would be the dream.
Yeah.
Like, because we just met and we started talking, and we talked for ages.
Really?
And you know, I didn't freak out, no like finger butt.
You're generally like very chill. Like I remember, I actually have a memory being with you. We were like just like hanging out. We were like going to people's houses, like very casual. It's like the middle of the night. And we go to your friend's house and we're just like hanging out, like having drinks, and then like I look in the corner, I'm like, is that a Grammy
oh
over
God.
There?
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God.
Whose house are we at?
Yeah. Yes.
And you were like, oh yeah, like casual, like this is my friend. Like she goes by the stage name LaRue. She's like, you know, Grammy winner.
Yeah, that's so jokes. Yeah, I remember that night.
But it's just for you, it's just like you're very like laid back and kind of cool about those things, which is important, I think, because at the end of the day, as an artist, you're just, these are just other artists.
Yes, so true, so true. Yeah.
But is there anyone that you would get really starstruck about?
Probably, oh my God, there's like Tom Ford.
Oh, I love him.
And like, probably like Erykah Badu. Like I just would feel sick. I would not know what to say, but I would just be like, oh yeah.
I met her. I was like in the bathroom at some BET party thing and she asked me about my shoes. I was wearing these really tall, ridiculous platforms.
I would have fainted.
She's like, whose shoes are those? And I was like, they're Dolce & Gabbana. And she was like, Dolce did their thing with those. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, I love everything about you. And she was so cool. And then Tom Ford, I actually interviewed with him because I wanted to be his personal assistant.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, I was literally dying when you told me that. I was like, I can't do.
He was everything that I could have ever imagined and more. I feel like he's everything.
He is everything.
Yeah.
Like that. I want to work with him one day. Like that would just be like the dream.
Well, I think
direct like a film.
A film. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think to your point about not wanting to put yourself in a box, you're like, it's not like he's not just a fashion designer. He made a film. I think his first film was Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
Maybe it even won. I think it did win some Oscars. Like,
exactly.
When you're a true creative, you can do anything and
he's
kind of
such
jump
a great
around.
Example. Of totally. That. Yeah. Because I mean, like, I've been obsessed with Tom Ford since I was 13. Like, he's like one of the reasons why I'm like, okay, I'm going to move to London. I'm going to study fashion. Like, I need to be in fashion. This guy, like, you know, everything that he did for Yves Saint Laurent and like
Gucci.
Like I was just like, can you imagine doing both houses, some of the most two like major iconic houses?
Yeah.
He's running them.
Yeah, he's a true, like, he's probably one of the greatest living creatives of our time.
Yes,
and
yes,
then I'm
yes.
so sad when Azzedine Alaia passed away because I love him and I love that he's so like
devastating.
He's like, fuck Fashion Week, I don't care about Vogue.
He's
like Anna Wintour hates
own
me, I don't care.
Calendar.
I know.
He's just but that just goes to show you that you have to be so true to yourself, like as an artist,
yes.
or like in everything. You just have to be really true and honest with yourself, because if you, because that's when you're gonna create like the.
Today's episode of Naked Beauty is made possible with support from my friends at Macy's. And before my summer travel hits, I need to get a new carry-on. My old one just is not doing the trick anymore. And thankfully, Macy's has the lowest prices of the season sale. It's here. You can shop online at Macy's.com or in-store April 9th to the 14th. These are the lowest prices you are going to find all year long. So head on over to Macy's.com for 40 to 60% off. Up to 75% off for home and luggage. This is really incredible prices. All right, let's get back into the episode.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that.
We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOC.
Can you tell us what AWOC means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOC.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The best work. And he's such a good example of that because he didn't follow any of that, but he was also super talented and he worked really hard. And so that's like the basis of it. There's this book I'm reading. I need to like get the quote.
I've kind of
forgotten. But there's this book I'm reading. And I really liked this quote, and it says something about it's important to devote yourself to truth rather than to fixed ideas. And that for me is like you know what I mean? It's like the crux of how to understand sure. better. Well, like one, how
one more time, it's important to devote yourself to truth rather than to fixed ideas. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. how do you know what the truth is? Because I think that's the challenge for a lot of people.
I guess it's truth within the context of like social, like what you've been socialized to think is truth.
Right. Right. Versus what you know inside.
Yeah.
Yes. What book is that from?
It's called In Search of Wisdom, One Philosopher's Journey. I recently joined the library in St. Vincent.
Oh,
and it's by this writer, he's a philosopher called Imamichi Tomonobu. Like, I've literally just found out about him.
Okay, great. And I'll link to it like in the show notes.
Yeah,
if
yeah, that would be
to.
Great. That would be great. And because I remember, like when I stayed in London from like July until about November, and I was staying with my friends Asai and Joni. Like, Asai is an amazing designer. He's with like Fashionese. He just like got recently like, you know, Vogue is like. Interviewed him, and he's so inspiring. And I remember him telling me, because when I was like, you know, going through this whole turmoil of like being an artist and like just really insecure, like worried about like my work, I remember him saying like, whatever you do is going to be good, because if you do it from like your heart and like you have, you know, you're coming from a good place, as long as you're true to yourself, whatever it is, it's going to be good. So you just need to focus on that. And it made me realize that, wow, in this world, like, we're told so much to look outside. We're constantly like, look outside, look outside,
so
look outside the box. And everything is a box because, like, you know, everything that we see, architecture, it's a box. And it's so many...
Fixed ideas.
Yeah, fixed ideas. Yeah. And... if we look, because even like with this new piece that like I'm going to release called Pathways, I talk about looking inside the box. Mm-hmm. And I talked about that years ago, but I didn't really spend enough time. And that's why I make work to better understand like how to live this human experience, because I'm constantly always freaking out about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really deep. And I also think, I'm curious to know from you, were your parents always supportive of you being an artist? Because I think for a lot of people, that's the big barrier. They may feel like they're creatives, but they worry about what will my parents think? And,
yeah.
You know, I've gone to school and there are the expectations that I have to have a certain type of job.
Well, I mean, my parents have always been very like open to what I do. But I guess like with when I change to doing music, they obviously were worried naturally, because they didn't really understand that world. Like, they were cool with me being creative in terms of the fashion context, because, you know, my mom like did fashion, so that was like understandable for them. But then when I went into music, they, you know, they were there. They never discouraged me, which is, I think it's really amazing.
That's amazing.
They've always been like that. And I kind of say, like, you know, my parents are a little bit of hippies, because like they, I mean, they did move from like Nigeria to the Caribbean with like six kids. So that is quite like, you know what I mean? But they've been supportive, but they never really understood. And I think, yeah, they were getting very worried of late, especially like, you know, kind of like my journey has been quite like, it's out there. It's quite wild. Like, I'm moving all over, trying to find my grounding. And I talk about it in my piece about like, you have to get lost to find a way and blah, blah, blah.
And by the way, we all are. Like, we're all, I think it's so important to remember
that
no one has it figured out.
Yeah.
No one's like, I mean, even it's my brother, so not another woman, but I think it's particularly amongst women, but he's like, what do you have to worry about? Like, you're married, you have a job, like everything's figured out. And I'm like, no, I'm every single day I'm trying to figure it out. And it's, you know, a constant freestyle. You kind of learn as you go.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, life is about perfecting the art of living, about living. It's continuous motion. It never stops.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, at least, I used to be really into fashion. Now I'm much more into beauty, because I think that actually has a bigger impact. Like, I look at you now, you're wearing like a very, like a gorgeous, like white turtleneck and black jeans. And like, you know, you have very natural makeup and your hair. But for me, it's like your beauty that's doing more of the work than like the clothes.
Oh, thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
I've kind of gotten into this mode where I'm like, I don't want fashion that screams and announces like, here I am.
Exactly.
It's not interesting to me anymore.
Yes.
And so that's why I think beauty is much more interesting, because even you can look at a woman if she's, you know, choosing to do like a red lipstick and no mascara, like that's a choice and that's an interesting
choice.
And it says something
it's
about
such
who
an
she
interesting
is,
choice.
You know?
That's so true.
Right?
That's really true. Yeah. Cause it's very subtle.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you kind of peep into what this kind of person is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm so fascinated by beauty. So, okay. Mm. Tell me the beauty trends that you really love at the moment.
Oh, what am I loving?
Or even beauty products that you're using now that you're obsessed with?
I discovered this like cream cleanser from Burt's Bees.
Burt's Bees, yeah. Of course, they have really good stuff.
And it's soap bark with chamomile.
Yeah, chamomile. Yeah, nice.
Oh my God, it is so good.
Really?
I started using it because I was living with my friends who, like, they're so good. Like, they have, like, the best beauty products. Yeah. It's amazing.
What do they do? Are they beauty editors? Because I feel
No, they're not. Like, she's, like, a proper academic. She's, like, doing a PhD. He's a fashion designer.
Okay.
But they have lots of, like, chamomile, like, products.
Okay.
And so I tried that and it was like quite tingly on the skin, but it's transformed my skin.
Really?
And so I've been, because before that I was just using coconut oil.
Yeah.
And so now I combine like the two.
That's amazing.
And so I'm obsessed with that.
What's your lip gloss is beautiful. What lip gloss is this?
It's YSL. It's Saint Laurent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Fenty Beauty Gloss Bomb. Have you tried that yet?
No, I'm dying to get Fenty Beauty.
While you're here, you know,
babes, I was at the Lancôme counter getting makeup, and I was like, "Sorry, no. Do you know?" I'm like, "Sorry, I know I probably shouldn't, but
where can I get Fenty?
Where is Fenty Beauty?
It's only at Sephora, but it's by the way, when you leave here, you can go. It's right by
amazing.
Our place.
I really want to get a bronzer. Is Trophy Wife the one?
Trophy Wife is the highlighter that everyone loves. I have a love-hate relationship with highlighter at the moment because I feel like it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like women are doing it. It's like 11 a.m. and you've got like a gold strobe and it's just a little too much.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But it is a beautiful highlight.
Yeah.
I have the Pat McGrath one, which I'm obsessed with. Are you into Pat McGrath?
I love her, but I've never used any of her products because like where I am, like I can't really
access
it.
Yeah, it's hard to get. She liked one
but
of my Instagram pictures last week and I died. I like, she knows I exist.
Oh my god.
What, check my pulse.
Did you tag her?
I tagged her.
Oh my god, she is like...
But she's like very active on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know where she finds the time.
Exactly.
But yeah, her products are amazing. And I also just, I mean, I love that she's a black woman, but she's been so influential in beauty for decades. So it's like about time that she created her own.
I just find that really interesting, and also I really admire that she's been doing it for ages and it took her this long to bring it out. It just goes to show you, like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's no rush. It's like she got to her pinnacle and she's like, okay, it's time now.
Exactly.
Everything in its time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Because she could have just rested where she was as like the most influential important makeup artist living today and just stopped there, but she was like, I'm gonna push it further and I'm gonna come out with this line. So yeah, I think that's really inspiring.
Yeah.
How do women wear their hair and makeup in St. Vincent?
A lot of women are doing braids now, which I find very cool because it's obviously this whole like visual globalization due to like Instagram. Because before like girls in the Caribbean or like, you know, St. Vincent, they weren't really doing braids. But now everybody's doing braids and they know how to do all the techniques that you can find being done in Nigeria. You can now do it in St. Vincent.
Yeah.
It's mostly braids. It's mostly braids. And, you know, you do find like a lot of girls still do the relaxer. And I've been seeing a lot of natural hair as well.
Oh, really?
Which is so great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's like, that's traveled to St. Vincent. And you know what I saw the other day too? And I thought, wow, this is crazy. I saw like two girls with like undercuts and I was like, wow.
In St. Vincent?
Yeah, but it takes a while. Trends take a while to get to St. Vincent.
Right.
But because of the internet.
So because of Instagram, we basically get to see what people are doing in other parts of the world and that kind of like inspires.
Yes.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. But then also I think it must be nice to be free from seeing trends because I feel like at least living here in New York, I'm just like bombarded with them like all the time and it kind of like affects your...
Yeah, you don't see a lot. Like, I mean, even with my hair, I get I get stopped so much. I get asked about, like, you know, even I was in Barbados the other day and this guy was like, you look like somebody famous. I was like, it must be the hair.
It's definitely the hair.
Yeah.
But also you do also like have that face. Like you have like the really high cheekbone. Like you have a very distinctive look. And I love the gap in your teeth. Did you ever think about getting it fixed?
Never. Actually, like, not for one moment.
I know. And wouldn't you regret it so much if you did?
Yeah. Imagine if I, but I think that's also because you're talking about being bombarded with like trends and like also like what you said about like beauty standards before. I found that like living in the Caribbean, I didn't feel like insecure about like my features,
right?
Ever. And a lot of people don't go through that there.
Yes.
A lot of people are quite confident. The level of confidence there is amazing.
I know. I need to become an island girl.
Seriously, I always thought it was so inspiring. Because even if I grew up there, I would look at it and I would laugh. Because these girls would be like, they'll post pictures of them. So this is like MySpace days or High Five days. And they'd be like, yes, confidently growing to the beautiful woman that I am. Or I'm looking so hot today. And I thought, damn, Caribbean women are just something else. Yes. This is so fabulous.
I know.
You know what I mean? To not need validation. Yes. To be like, I'm going to validate myself and I'm actually going to proclaim it out.
Yes.
I don't need to wait for anyone to tell me.
Yes. And why do you think that is like so common in like the islands, like in the Caribbean?
Because I guess it's so incubated there. Like they're just literally like living in their own world.
Yeah.
And it's only with the onset of like internet and you know what I mean? That's changed things a bit. But I think it's only changing things for the better, I hope. Because you don't find cases of, like, you know, eating disorders, you know, what I mean, things like that.
Yes, yeah.
Because people just feel
confident.
Confident.
And even, like, Rihanna, who has, like, she has a pretty flat chest,
right?
She doesn't have, like, a huge ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that women are getting their butt injected now is insane.
I heard there's this new trend called designer body. I never heard about it before.
Oh, yeah, designer body. Yeah, you get your, like, waist pulled in, mm-hmm, your butt implants, and it's crazy.
It's crazy.
And it's very at odds with this lifestyle of just, like, being free on the beach and, like, loving what you
have. Exactly, exactly.
Maybe everyone, all these women should just, like, spend 6 months mandatory, like, in the Caribbean and just, like, get some perspective on life.
You know what? It's so funny you say that because I remember my sister-in-law coming to visit years ago and she said, you cannot have like you can't have an identity or like a body complex in a place like this. You can't like not have confidence in a place like this, because even just walking down the road, just from the way people talk to you, you're just like, damn, yes, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah, that's beautiful though. It's such a like affirming thing that so many people don't grow up having.
Yeah,
and definitely. I'm sure it really like shapes you.
Yeah, it really does, because I feel like you know, like, just like growing up there. And I remember when I was in Nigeria for like 10 months, I was in complete turmoil, because I feel like all the ideals, everything that I thought I knew about myself just completely crumbled.
Really?
And I was just so deeply unhappy because I had always kind of gone through life like, not even if it's weird, because like, even if like I'm a very visual person, the way I dress, blah, 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 I never thought so much into it. Do you understand?
Right.
And when I went to a place like that where it's like very image obsessed,
yes,
that ruined everything for me. And I started looking at myself. I started like dissecting.
Yes.
And it freaked me out because I was like, oh my God, I'm going backwards.
Yeah.
I just turned 30 years old. Am I actually going backwards on the spectrum? This is madness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it does take going backwards to reevaluate. Right, because you have to kind of catch yourself and say, oh, am I playing it? Because I think style is fun when it's personal expression.
Exactly.
But a lot of times, and it's in magazines, there's like this pervasive idea that it's something to be perfected.
Yes, to
right?
be.
This
yeah,
is the
yeah,
right
yeah,
way
yeah,
to
yeah,
look,
yeah.
and this
True.
Is the right way your hair should be, and your skin
True.
Should be, and your outfit should be.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this thing where you're trying to like win almost.
So true.
And that's
so
not
true.
What style is about.
That's what it's about, yeah. It's about being comfortable, being happy. It's about self-expression for you to feel good, to step outside into the world so that you can be a better person to interact with other people. That's really just what it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's, I think style, it's everything. It's like the way that you walk. It's, it, it's the spoon that you use for breakfast. Mm-hmm, like you're making all of these like stylistic choices every single day.
Totally,
and it's so part of who you are that it's hard to like,
I Weiwei has this quote. I have the badge actually. It's like, everything is art, everything is politics. And it's true, because everything is art. Like everything, like the way that we live, like what we live in.
Totally.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about beauty trends or things that you're seeing that you think just like they've had their moment and they need to go away.
Okay. I am so over this like obsession with the eyebrows, the concealer, the faded bit in the front.
It's a lot.
Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And like this kind of, and I get it. I get it, because I guess like times of yore, there was this whole like very perfect makeup look, and like maybe the, I don't know, it was the 40s or something, or when was it? But it was like this just like really perfect makeup. So I get that maybe that whole vibe, but you know, circa 2K17, going back to when did it even start? Yeah. I get that maybe that's the vibe that's happening. But I just don't really, I just feel like it's too much. Like the whole like,
painted
it's like
on.
Really heavy, like drag, like kind
of
face.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a drag
day.
Beat.
Yeah, for every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not dissing the drag beat. I love the drag beat. I think it's amazing. I think it's artistry.
Yeah.
But, but you know, these.
Place and time.
They've taken it to another place.
Yes, yes. And it's not necessarily for doing your groceries.
No.
If you're an 18-year-old,
No, and then and the fact that, like, these women are having complexes because they can't wake up and, like, their boyfriends can't see them without makeup. That is, like, you've become a prisoner.
Yes.
Like, it's madness.
That is really sad when it gets to be that deep.
Yeah.
Anything else that you don't like trend-wise?
What else? Trend-wise, like, beauty trends. Oh, you mean like just trend-wise?
It could be anything trends, yeah. Oh,
this whole I feel quite uncomfortable because everyone is like way too obsessed with the look. Like, oh, that's a look. And it's like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Like serving a full look, yes. And I think it's because of Instagram, right?
Yes,
like people basically just dress for the image.
They dress for the gram and all of that. And it's just like, it's a look. And like people, like, are just following the same looks or trying to constantly outdo.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's quite like vapid.
I agree.
There's like no substance to
it. I agree. And it's actually something that I've been more conscious of, because I think my style, I mean, I'm literally wearing a t-shirt and jeans, like as little bit of a look as a look can get. And like the women I admire, like Audrey Hepburn, and women who I think have really great style, are actually quite understated.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I realized that doesn't necessarily translate into like a great shot for the gram. And I think people are like doing bright colors and patent leather and like all this crazy stuff, because it's going to make for a great image.
Yeah.
But my personal style does not translate to that. So it's like, it's tricky.
No, I get it. But I think that you're like, you know, it's your way of like kind of resistance, because you're just like, I don't need to, like, I just want to be subtle and be comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes I feel pretty plain. Sometimes I can feel
No, you're so chic. Like, I've always been really interested in different things. So I always throw random things together. I remember getting to the point where like people would be like, my friends would be like, girl, you pull so much looks. And I'm like, damn, I don't even photograph any of these looks.
Yeah, I know,
it started making me stressed out. Like, I was like,
no, okay. Actually, I'm going to agree with your friend on that, because you have amazing style, and you know, you're a musician, you want people to discover your music. Like, you could photograph your outfit every single day and people would die. I mean, every single time I see you, I'm serious. Have you thought about doing that?
Yeah, I have, but I don't know.
You just like, I
don't understand. I don't know. Understand how to do it and how to maximize it. I think that's like what my issue is. Like, it is there, but I don't know how to translate it
into like
I just feel like my face looks really silly when I do it. I'm like,
no, don't think
not
about
sure.
that.
I mean, I don't know how to like pose for it.
Oh,
and
please.
All of that
you know
stuff.
How to pose. You know how to pose.
I don't want to look like I'm posing too much. It's like, all these like...
I loved what you wore to our wedding because it was a black tie wedding. And so most of the women very predictably wore like gowns. And you show up to the villa in Tuscany in this like gorgeous, like it was like a brocade embroidered suit.
Yeah, I got that made. Yeah, because I was like, it's a wedding. I need to wear a suit. It's Brooke's wedding. I have to wear a suit.
You looked amazing though.
And so I was like, what kind of suit should I wear? I was like, I've been wanting an African print suit forever.
It was gorgeous.
Thank you. My friend Amici made it. Yeah.
So cool. Like also, I think that getting, like, you know, I got my wedding dress made.
Yeah.
I think getting clothes made, just find a tailor wherever you live, even if it's in a small,
seriously,
just find a tailor, bring some drawings, like have them sketch it out. They do your measurements. It's such a great
that
way.
That is such a good idea.
Yeah.
I remember years ago when you were talking about like wanting to do like a sort of like bespoke.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Great business idea.
That
if anyone wants to steal
idea.
It, I think
that
people
such
should
great...
set that up.
I never forgot that. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I still try to do it. Like I'll find tailors and be like, mm-hmm. if I see something, like there was this Rosie Asulin, do you know her?
Yes, yes.
There was this amazing like green duster coat. I like, went to Thailand. Like when I went, I had been waiting for a year because mm-hmm, I knew the trip mm-hmm. was coming. I brought them all of the pictures. They did my measurements.
Oh my God, I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll show you before you leave.
Yeah.
But it was like such a gratifying, amazing experience.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I directed like my music video in St. Vincent, like, some months ago, and I actually like, yeah, I got like a Versace like resort, I don't know, like a look, a spring summer from like 97, and I took it to the tailor and she made like a white version of it.
Yeah,
it was really stunning.
I think a tailor is probably one of the best things you can invest in.
Seriously,
it really
is. That
is
a brilliant idea. Yeah.
And then have you always been quite lucky with like your skin and like you're very slim as well? Like have you always been lucky in terms of like not having to do a lot for your skin and your body?
No, it's been definitely like in cycles. As I've gotten older, it's very easy now, but when I was younger, I definitely had to, you know, like make sure that I made an effort, like washed it, cleansed it properly, used like toner, all of that stuff. But what I would do is I would always like use the same product. So if I found a product, I would use it for like six years.
Yeah, like stick with it. Yeah, so that you're
that
not-
would be like my cycle. So I would use something and then I don't know, it's weird because then I would just stop using it after like maybe 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you kind of feel like, oh, I need something new.
It's yeah, like exactly.
Commercialism just pulls you in and
yeah.
you're like, I need the new hot thing.
Yeah, but I'm a bit like my mom because I've never really been like beauty product obsessed until now. Like, I think I'm getting to that place now, like where I'm just like, oh, I guess I kind of like it. Like, on
yeah.
my, I just like seeing them.
I get it. But I make a lot of my own products and I actually try to put them into like nice glass jars.
Amazing. So. Oh my God.
Yeah,
love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got a little beauty entrepreneur coming up.
Yes. No,
yes.
I mean, I think that it's so easy to make your mm-hmm, own. Mm-hmm. It's something that I feel like more women should know about,
yeah.
that you can make your own products.
Yeah,
and
my mom does that all the time,
oh,
actually.
Does she?
Yeah,
and
like
she
well, I mean, she does like all these little things. Like she makes like her own like mosquito repellent.
Oh yeah, with like what's it called? Citronella.
Yes, exactly.
And lemongrass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
yes.
all you need. It's just mm-hmm. you can just do it with essential
coconut
oils.
Coconut oil and yeah.
Yeah, you don't need like that toxic whatever.
I don't play around enough with beauty stuff because going back to this, honestly, hon, I am so boring. I don't even do any. I just literally what I do with scrubbing, when I go on the beach, I do a proper full-on scrub.
Oh, like with the sand?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's like an exfoliation.
I just
yeah.
sit down and I really go in. I do head to toe.
Amazing.
Scrub.
So that keeps your skin really smooth
yeah.
and nice. And
yeah.
then when you go in the sun, you wear sunscreen, of course, right?
Yeah, I wear sunscreen.
Okay, that's like the most important
always,
thing. When
always
people don't wear sunscreen, it really stresses me out.
So I lie because I said always. I don't always wear sunscreen. I combine it.
Okay.
Sometimes I do sunscreen and then sometimes like I just do like coconut oil. I know.
You're kind of killing me. Only because the sun is so damaging to your skin
yeah.
and it like contributes to aging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I mean...
I agree. No, I agree.
You
I
don't
should,
have that much to worry about.
I should wear it every day. But I did get this, what do you call it? This foundation that has like SPF
in
it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good compromise.
yeah.
Okay. The last question that I'm going to ask you that I ask all of my podcast guests, and actually every time I ask people, they get a little bit like, oh my God, like I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
so
don't worry.
But the question is, and you can take time to think about it, when do you feel the most beautiful?
When do I feel the most beautiful? when I cleanse my face at night and I put some oil on it before I go to bed and I really massage it in and my scarf is on. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually
The scarf it's being like on surface. Is like, yeah, like a very, no, it's a very big thing. Like, I don't really feel prepared to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually traveling recently and I couldn't find my scarf and I like had a panic attack. I was like, I can't sleep. Like, sound the alarms. Like, this Mm-mm. is a huge issue. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. It's like a big,
Mm.
but I also agree with like this idea that, you know, we all love makeup and like, I love all of that stuff, but I actually do agree with you. I think I feel my most beautiful when everything's like stripped. Like when I feel clean and moisturized.
Exactly. Clean and moisturized. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like all you can really like hope for.
And you get like better dreams that way.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Diana Vreeland has an amazing quote that I always think of. That's the way you feel when you go to sleep is the way you feel when you wake up.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I think that's so true. Like when you go to sleep and like, you feel like all of your shit's together. Sorry, excuse my language.
Definitely.
But when you feel like you have everything together.
Definitely.
And like you go to sleep and it's not crazy late, like it's a good time. Then you wake up and you feel like
you
I'm ready.
Feeling like so ready, like fresh. You just feel good, like you're ready to take the day.
Yes. But when you go to bed like all frazzled and you haven't washed, it's like no, it's like not setting good groundwork for like the day ahead.
Exactly. And you know, like in terms of our life cycles, sleep is the most important thing because that's when we regenerate.
Yes.
So it's so important to go to sleep like feeling good. Yeah.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So where can people hear more from you and like what do we have to look forward to?
You look forward to like a lot of things.
I still have like one song from you on my iTunes Sparkle.
Amazing.
That's all that I have.
That's the oldest thing
I know.
Ever. I'm not even going to release that.
Wait, can I just tell you that that's in the history of our friendship, the only song that you've sent me. So it's the only one that I have. So I need you to send me some.
Yeah, definitely. Stuff. Definitely. I mean, you can like expect I'm releasing a piece called Pathways like next year. And I feel like if it's a good piece, they're kind of ushering the new year because it talks about like cycles of life and like how it's like everything is constant. We need to keep moving and about like family and about like, you know, understanding that there's, you know, the surface is not enough and mm-hmm. just like digging more deeper and like looking inside the box, i.e. yourself. So,
yeah. How would you describe your sound though? It's very hard to...
It's just mostly a vibe.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not like a genre.
Yeah.
It's just a vibe.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like going to be the name of your first like studio album, like just a vibe, no box that I fit in.
I love that actually. I really love that.
That's like, that would be an amazing album title.
Yeah,
well, I'm so happy
it's gonna
for
happen.
You and like
Thank
proud
you.
Of you and all the amazing work that
Thank
you've done.
You. And you.
No, but seriously, you are such like an inspiration.
Oh my God.
No, really. I think
are
you really
serious,
are.
Brooke? I look at you as that. Seriously.
Oh, you're sweet.
Like okay. I get like so stressed out about my work and like about actually like being an artist and what am I doing, and I freak out so much. You do, like my boyfriend, he, it's like endless, like I'm in constant turmoil.
But we all are.
Yeah. And we so are. And but I see you and I'm like, I'm so inspired by you. Like you're like always going, like you're doing the best.
Thank you.
And I know that you're gonna get to your pinnacle. I'm gonna get there too. So hey girl.
Yes, okay, cheers to that.
Cheers to
Thank
that.
Thank you so much. This is so fun.
This is amazing.
I like need to move to St. Vincent now and just get some of this island girl.
I should
have my first podcast retreat in St. Vincent and just like be like, okay, my 10
Excuse
listeners,
me.
Let's
Honey,
just go to
you're
going to
have
Vincent.
It at my place because I'm going to do something like that. So you do, oh, this is fab, yeah.
Okay, yeah. 2018 dreams.
Yes! Let's do it. That's
All right,
cute.
Guys.
That's cute.
Thank
Love
you
it.
So much for listening.
1, 2.
This is actually a song from Enye. I also have all of the great stuff that we mentioned and where you can find out more from her. Everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much. Hit me up. I'm at Brooke Devard on all platforms. And again, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.
That you're mine. I wanna
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.